some journey.
Hi guys, welcome to the first episode of the second season of Jab Some Journeys. I am here with John Loy, who's going to be my co-host today, and we are lucky enough to be joined by our classmate Ryan Nguyen. He has been known in our class as like the 16-year-old who has like been so impressive and just has this amazing story about how he, while we were all probably like, you know, doing things that you do at 16 years old, he was, you know, taking the MCAT and getting into medical school. So while this podcast is like made for advice, he has like a really awesome story that he wants to share with you guys today. So maybe Ryan, if you could introduce yourself.
Sure. Hey, I'm Ryan Nguyen. Thank you for the introduction. As a student, I kind of went to Kaiser High School, graduated, went to Kapi'olani Community College and UH Manoa for undergrad, did BS biology, and now I'm here talking with you guys.
We kind of wanted to start actually with like a fun question, like in PBL, how we open with like kind of a question of the day to just kind of get the conversation flowing. And I actually can't remember what the question was. Do you remember, John? Okay. Do you have a question, Ryan, that you've liked so far in PBL?
Here's one. All right. What's the last book you read? And do you recommend it? Was it good or bad? No textbooks. Everybody says textbooks in PBL. It's cheating.
That's a challenge. You assume I read, Ryan.
I think the last book that I've read was, or I'm currently reading the book that everybody, you know, recommends before you get to med school, but here I am reading it in the third unit, but I'm reading When Breath Becomes Air. And I've liked it so far. Everyone says it's really amazing. I don't know if any of you have read that yet, but.
So to be honest, I do have the book. It's been on my shelf for a while. Have not touched it yet. But yeah,
but it's there.
It's there. I have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, John? What is the last thing you read? No, you don't read.
Yeah, that's the problem. I don't read books too often. I do love to read subtitles though. So, you know, I don't know. I like that's to watch like a lot of K-dramas when I have free time.
Yeah. That's like practicing your reading skills.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Ryan?
Close enough. That counts. For me, it was 1 Liter of Tears. Have you guys heard of that? Maybe by a different name.
Yeah.
But it's about, it's like an autobiography of a young girl in, living in Japan with a certain disease, just kind of chronicling her progress, her thoughts on life, her philosophy. It's a really interesting and sad kind of book to read. I read it like right before I got into med school, but it's a pretty good time. I definitely recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds really good. I'll have to go look into that. Is it like pretty long?
I don't remember, but it's not too bad, I think.
Yeah. Well, that sounds interesting. Didn't you just go on a trip too? I was telling John that earlier.
Yeah, I actually went to Washington. So the way up there, the cold one, not on East Coast.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah, I thought you went somewhere else because I was like, oh, he brought boba cakes. Ryan brought boba cakes for the whole class and it was really, really good. Yeah, I thought you went international. Okay, well, that was a fun question. So I guess now you said you went to University of Hawaii and you took some classes at KCC.
Mm-hmm.
And so was that during high school, or maybe you can tell us a little bit about like your, I guess, your education experience, because if you guys didn't hear, like he's 16 and he got into medical school. And I don't think like I've ever heard of that before, except for in like fictional story, like Disney Channel shows. Mm-hmm. But we've got the real thing here. So yeah, maybe you can tell us like what it was like, just kind of your educational journey and like how you got here.
I actually made a mistake. I'm 17 years old. So thank you for
17 now.
10 days ago I turned 17.
Happy
belated birthday.
New Year's baby?
Close enough.
Whoa, very cool. Wait, what's today? The 18th.
Birthday's on the 6th. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Well, that was bad maths. Maybe you can start off by like, did you always know you wanted to do medicine?
Definitely not. So I'll give you the whole story here, I guess. So the kind of abnormality maybe started in middle school. So that was when I was doing science fair. It was just, you know, basic research, middle school science fair kind of stuff. It was a good time. Oh, I had a ton of them. A couple of them were on teeth because my dad's a dentist. So it was like, oh, easy. Yeah. Just go into his office, do some stuff. But later down the line, I got into VOG research because when my brother was young, we lived on the Big Island. And he had a lot of problems with asthma, volcanic air pollution. So I looked into that a little bit. And interestingly, that's kind of the that was kind of the catalyst for getting into where I am now, because our mentor for that project, my brother and I, was a professor over at UH, and he invited us to audit a few of his classes when I was in middle school. So just, you know, sitting into chemistry, learning a little bit, maybe applying that to our research. And later down the line, we ended up taking, both my brother and I ended up taking the Compass test, which is a way to kind of test into college for students of really any age, I believe. I think they kind of got rid of it now, but it was a really nice opportunity back then. And from there, while I was in eighth grade, I started taking my first two classes. I still remember it. It was calculus and philosophy or psychology. It's one of the two.
Wow.
But, yeah, it was a good time.
So that was your first college class. And then what? How old were you when you did that?
That's a good question. So I started middle school when I was nine. So 9, 10, 11. I think I was 12.
I don't even, what was I doing when I was in, when I was 12? I guess, like, what made you be like, I want to take this test? You know, like, I've never really heard of that. But yeah, like, was it like your parents or was it the professor?
For me, I wanted to compete with my brother because I took it I took it half a year after him. And we've always been kind of, we're a year and a half apart. We've always been kind of competitive in that way. And academically, usually I just kind of rolled over, let him, you know, beat me on that because I didn't feel like studying. I wasn't a great student in middle school, but I felt like this is something where he showed that young students could do it. And I kind of followed him, or I paid attention to how he studied. I looked at his techniques and I wanted to do that myself. And that's kind of how I got into it. And it turns out I ended up doing better than him on it. I placed into calculus, he placed into trig. So he retook it just to catch up to me. So I felt pretty happy about that.
Oh, we love a good sibling competition. That kind of drove me and my sister into where the both of us are now too. That being said, I was going to ask you like who your role models were. Kind of sounds like you had a few growing up.
Definitely. Honestly, I think my brother's too close to see him as a role model. Yeah, he's like he's a good friend. Well, he's a brother, you know, that relationship's a bit hard to explain.
Yeah.
But as far as role models, I think my father, definitely, he was a refugee in Vietnam. And he's just, his story includes just a lot of, you know, working way up the ladder, finding opportunities for yourself. And that's something that I really respect.
Yeah, how inspiring. I see why growing up with somebody like that would be so motivational. So after you took the Compass test and then you got into college, right? Then, so you went to UH to finish out, is that to finish out your prereqs and stuff?
Yeah, so I transferred, I think, in the second year. And because I was in eighth grade at the time when I started, I was kind of doing high school at the same time, but I was mostly skipping my class. Good boys and girls don't do this. I was skipping all my classes, just going to orchestra in the morning. And then, you know, going to college after. So I kind of did most of my prereqs at KCC. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What did you play in orchestra?
Cello.
Oh, can you still play?
No way. Definitely not.
I feel like that's one of the ones that takes a lot of like practice and diligence.
Yeah, for sure. It's fun though.
So how was taking those college classes while you were in what, middle school and high school? Like what was it like, you think?
Yeah, so for me, it was, I kind of liked it because I went to an IB school. So if you guys haven't heard of that, it's a kind of system, I don't know where they have it, International Baccalaureate for middle and high school, where they have this really weird grading system where it's not like you just get a certain amount of answers wrong or right, and then you get a score. It's like, have you shown improvement over time? And that was too ambiguous for me compared to when I started college. I felt like I could really get a grasp of the expectations of the course and do well on my own. So I actually really like that.
That sounds great. Yeah. I kind of did like a similar program in high school. I took like a running start program. Mm-hmm. So it let us take some community college courses and then make it count double for like a college credit and our high school credit as well. So then that helped me to kind of double dip on my credits, but also like to get out of high school, like at least end the day a little earlier, mm-hmm. which is kind of fun. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you must have been like so busy studying for both high school and college. And so when you were doing that, I guess, like, what other experiences did you have that kind of shaped your journey to medical school? Since like you've talked about the VOG research. I personally have allergies, so I appreciate it. And yeah, what, like, did you like go shadowing? Did you get into the hospital?
For me, it was kind of doing a little bit more biomedical research and realizing, oh, they're like, this is a direct application to, you know, help people through medicine. And after that, I got into shadowing quite a bit. I really enjoyed spending time in the ED. I think that's definitely influenced me a lot.
Is emergency medicine in your cards?
It most definitely is, mm-hmm. along with a couple other things. So.
Oh, what are they?
So far, looking into surgery, orthopedic surgery is pretty interesting to me. I really like the cases they do and their kind of approach to that. So that's the main two things for me.
Mm. How do you like shadowing in the ED? I kind of scribed in the ED for quite a while too. So mm-hmm. then I thought it was really interesting getting to see like kind of like a diverse set of different cases.
Yeah, for me, it was really exciting. It was one of the first things that I really did as a pre-med student to get into that. And I was over in Hilo Medical Center. For me, it was just a really good time talking to everybody, all the staff, all the parts of the medical team, the physicians as well. It gave me a lot of insight, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any like really memorable moments from there that was like, yes, this is like why I'm here or like what I want to do?
Honestly, I felt that kind of, yeah, this is why here, this is why I'm here. Every time, like, I was just standing in the patient's room, you know, with the doctor in the ED, just trying to listen into the case, figure out what's going on. I really felt that, you know, this is really awesome. I want to do this. This is why I, you know, traveled out here. And yeah, that's how it was for me.
So when did you actually shadow the ED physicians in Hilo? Because I know you were like pretty much raised here. You went to high school here.
Yeah. So for me, my dad kind of travels between Oahu and Big Island for work. I used to live in Kona on the Big Island way back when. But usually I would tend to go either on the weekends when he kind of left, or usually during breaks, like winter break, summer break, just spend a couple weeks over there.
Yeah, that's really fun. That's a really good experience. I'm like personally somebody who didn't have a lot of clinical experience coming in here. And that's something that I really not regret, but wish I did more of. But yeah, I guess a more difficult question that we had for you was like, I took 3 gap years and, you know, like took time to figure out how to apply to medical school. And you're someone who like was able to just go through, and that's like very impressive. And we were just kind of wondering, like, because you started medical school at such a young age, at like 16, was there anything that you wish you did before that you had time for?
Yeah, so this is
committed to the world of medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. Something I've thought about myself quite a bit. One component of that is when I was in high school, I was kind of, as I mentioned, not really attending any of the classes. But what I did get to do, because I was technically a student, was go to all the dances, the fun events with my friends, stuff like that. But I feel like kind of overall, I had a very well-rounded experience as a college student as well. I spent a lot of time looking into my hobbies. I made a lot of college friends. I wouldn't say I have any regrets, at the very least. It's been fun for me personally. And there's certainly quite a few things that, you know, only a high schooler can experience, and perhaps I might have missed out on that. But I really wanted to do this path that I'm in right now. And honestly, I'm just glad it's worked out. So that kind of overrules everything else for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're accomplishments and just personality speak for itself. But you say that you kind of got to explore your hobbies a lot. So I saw that you are starting to draw. Is that a new hobby, or is that like a, I guess, return to an old hobby?
Pretty much. When I was a kid, I always drew, you know, all the time, just random kid stuff, you know, doodles everywhere. But most recently, 2 years ago, I wanted to really get into drawing manga. As embarrassing as it is, I've always been huge on manga. I read like a ton. And I started trying to seriously get into that. But unfortunately, I stopped because I was just frustrated, not making progress. But I picked that up recently. So trying to get back into that.
Wow. So do you have to build like a whole storyline when you do that too? So you're like writing and drawing?
Yeah, it's kind of a fun experience. I haven't really finished anything I'm proud of yet, but it's good practice at least. It's a good time.
What is like the, I guess, like content that you like to do? Like what is the genre?
Yeah. It matches up with my favorite to read. So it's actually slice of life. I like comedy a lot, but it seems pretty unreachable for somebody like me to write for now. Yeah, slice of life. So just kind of exploring people's day-to-day, you know, calm moments, fun moments, interesting things, everything kind of wrapped up into one. I think it's a good time.
Yeah. Do you think that drawing has anything to do with kind of like, I don't know, the way that you'd like to be like a surgeon, or, you know, I feel like it has a lot of visual stuff going on there.
I get you. What I will say is that the anatomy lab has helped me out a ton with just figuring out, just figuring out how to draw characters and whatnot.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Just like getting a better sense of like where the muscles are and like how the joints work. That's really funny. Yeah. And I also see that you're like really into music. What kind of music do you like to listen to?
Oh man.
Or is it more playing music?
I don't really play music too much. Nowadays, I just play recorder sometimes. Yeah, the weird looking thing from elementary school held on to.
Oh, that's so funny. Can you play like songs on it?
I used to be able to. Now I can just kind of very slowly figure stuff out. But yeah. And as for what I listen to, a ridiculous amount of Vocaloid music. Have you guys heard of that?
I don't think I have.
No, what's that?
It's a kind of Japanese, I guess the easiest way to say it, it's like a vocal synth where you have a robot sounding voice, a voice bank sing out things that you ask it to, and you tune it a specific way to get the voice that you want. It's kind of a pretty well-known genre. I'm a fan of it for quite a few reasons, but that's definitely the thing I listen to the most.
Wow, I've never heard of that, but I'm going to have to look into that. That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
So given that you have like a bunch of hobbies, it's really crazy that you have time to do all of that. I was just wondering, how do you like to spend your free time, the few hours of free time that you do have in the week, or how do you like to de-stress?
I'm pretty much a pro at de-stressing, I would say. I read a ton of manga. Thankfully, music is something you can listen to while, you know, you're studying sometimes, as long as it doesn't distract too much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But one thing I really like doing when I have, you know, a nice little chunk of free time is play video games, usually online stuff with friends.
Yeah. What do you play?
Recently, I've been playing a ton of FPS, like first person shooter games, Escape from Tarkov, if you guys have heard of it. It's a bit of a more hardcore thing. It's kind of scary though.
So this podcast is kind of like for, you know, future medical students, current medical students, pre-meds, and like people who are interested in just medical education. So like as someone who had all of this going on, you have like all of college going on at the same time as high school, like when do you have time to study for the MCAT, like, and how did that go for you?
Yeah, so the MCAT for me, that was the first time. I'm a bit of a crammer, I'll say that much, especially that manifested throughout college. So I thankfully had a lot of free time to relax. And because of that, I just really took my summer break, I believe. I think so. Yeah. So a couple months to just buckle down and spend all of that in the MCAT. It was hard at first, but I kind of had a schedule. I had a structure that I wanted to use. I used Exam Crackers, a really good prep book. I definitely recommend that. And for me, it was mostly just keeping track of the things that I didn't understand and paying attention to how I wanted to improve and just consistently doing that up to the date. And thankfully, the MCAT for me went pretty well. There were some strange disruptions on the exam day, so that kind of messed me up a little bit. But yeah, it was an interesting experience, both taking the exam itself and preparing for it, I'd say.
Yeah, everybody should listen to his advice. We asked Brian if he would be like willing to share, and you can tell us what you got and like how you felt like you did, and you know if you would do anything different.
Mm-hmm. I got a 517, 518. So definitely happy with my score. That's pretty much exactly the goal that I wanted to hit. Yeah, so happy about that. Interestingly, I read a ridiculous amount of manga. Well, actually, that's not relevant, but I read a ton of books, especially when I was younger in college. Yeah, so I felt like my the cars, I think it was, the reading and writing section or whatever, I thought I would do really well in that. And I didn't prep too hard. I feel like during my practice exams, I always did well on that. But that was my worst exam, or that was my worst segment. So that really surprised me. So maybe even if you feel like you're good at something, it's a good idea to kind of go back on it, check in on it, and understand the structure of the MCAT, how it asks its questions. Because I feel like, especially for cars, that's pretty unique. And maybe you might get blindsided on that. So good thing to prepare for.
No, yeah, definitely. I think cars is probably the hardest section for most people. I know that was my lowest section too. So yeah, but you know, it is what it is sometimes, and you just try to make up for it in other sections.
Exactly. Yeah.
So if you weren't going to do medicine, what would you do?
For quite a bit, actually, for a couple of years in college, I was interested in being a researcher. I didn't really have, you know, a set goal or a specific topic I wanted to look into, but you know, something biomedical. For me, that was honestly a really nice tie into medicine, because that's what got me interested into applying that, you know, clinically later down the line. But that's probably what I would have tried for.
Was it a lot of bench work?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I wasn't too good at it, but that's the kind of thing I would have wanted to do.
That's very brave. I feel like there's a lot of patience to be learned in bench work and biomedical science work. But now that you kind of had experience or like exposure to both, I guess like what drew you more to medicine than research?
If I had to give a breaking point, perhaps it was this one class, biochemistry 441 or something similar at UH Manoa, mm-hmm. where Dr. Marikawa, one of our lecturers, you know, right now, as you probably remember, he's awesome. He's awesome.
Amazing.
He taught that class along with Steve Ward and Dr. Pogar over at UH. And they worked at the IBR, most of them worked at the IBR, which is where I was kind of doing a little bit of research too. But Dr. Marikawa, what really stood out to me about his lectures were that when he was giving the biochem and everything, he always had this clinical significance or medical significance section, where he would tell us exactly what condition this causes, the mechanism of that, how to treat it, the relevance, what it does for patients, that kind of thing. And that actually really inspired me to kind of pursue medicine a little more. I'd already started looking into it, of course, a little bit of shadowing, but for me, that was kind of the last little push that really wanted me, or that really got me to start preparing and heading for that path.
That's so awesome. It's like a full circle, and now you're here, like still learning from him.
He's
an amazing lecturer, teaches us a lot about embryology, but that's really cool that you've known him for a while now. And he kind of like was part of your pathway. Okay, let's start off with another fun question, and we can do the one that John and I were talking about yesterday, which is, Ryan, if you could eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
That's not possible. I can't answer that. I have to abstain.
Yeah.
Dude, there are too many.
We were trying to get around it yesterday. We both landed on sushi because like there's variety in sushi. I don't know.
Yeah.
True. Let's see. If I had to pick one, huh? Mm-hmm. Yo, this is hard. sandwiches.
The hardest question for the same of the day.
Reason. Exactly. Yeah.
Sandwiches. Huh, interesting.
Did you say sushi too?
Sandwiches.
Oh, sandwiches.
Hey, close enough. Close enough.
Yeah. There's starch and protein.
Meat, mm-hmm. vegetables.
Yeah. okay. So, sandwiches. What's your favorite sandwich place? If it's not the same one as mine, I'll be upset.
I don't have one. I actually picked it not because it's my favorite food, but because of versatility, like you mentioned. Hmm. That really got me. I've never thought about it that way, but I feel like there's so many good sandwiches.
Yeah. So what is a sandwich you like, Ben?
What is a sandwich I like?
Yeah.
Go to Costco. They got these like 10-piece chicken bakes that are just frozen, like sitting in
there.
Yeah,
the frozen ones. Yeah.
Yeah. They're good. They're good. Not too bad.
Are they better fresh though, or are they better frozen?
Problem. Okay, listen, I was big on chicken bakes before. Mm-hmm. Problem is, when COVID started, they switched it. So they make it out of house now. They used to make it in-house,
oh.
you know, with the green onion, with the, you know, chicken, Caesar, whatever. But now they have this, they ship it in frozen and they make that. And it's just not the same. Oh. I don't recommend it anymore.
Wow, I did not know that.
I have no idea.
Yeah. So getting back to like your journey to medical school, which has obviously been very like filled with accomplishments and just, and you're still 16. Let's just remember that. Or no, sorry, you're 17 now. Did you have any like setbacks or challenges along the way? And like, if so, could you speak about them and then like kind of how you overcame them?
Yeah, for sure. As we all did, there were quite a few, you know, challenges that I ran into. And one of them, I think the biggest one for me was preparing for the interview, because I had thought, you know, I was a pretty good speaker because of science fair, you know, I could practice, I could memorize speech and stuff. But when you think about it, it's not really the same. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. not really the same. I also had hyperhidrosis. So I think I still do, where you just sweat a lot. And especially for me, when I was nervous in any way, like when I was presenting or talking to somebody, like a professor or something, I might just start sweating all over my body. And I was like, oh no, how am I gonna, you know, do the interview for that? But thankfully it was over Zoom. Thankfully I also kind of got through that condition. But for me, trying to become a good speaker was learning how to be versatile and learning how to flow properly. Because before then, as I said, I just kind of memorized stuff, right? And that doesn't go too well. It just comes off as kind of as a canned answer, you know, when they're asking you these pretty important questions. And at certain times I felt, you know, really overwhelmed. I felt like there wasn't time to make the change. I felt like I didn't know what I needed to change. But thankfully, there are a lot of resources that UH has for mock interviews, as well as a lot of questions where you can kind of not write down and memorize answers, but accommodate yourselves or get used to them and just think about what you might say. And for me, the kind of whole process ended up going pretty smoothly. And at the end, I feel like I came out a much better speaker.
That is clearly showing right now. flow. Yeah, I know this is not like a presentation or an interview, but mm-hmm. yeah. And also that's a good resource for everybody who's listening if you have trouble interviewing. That being said, we all, you know, come into medical school kind of having done a lot, but also being overwhelmed at the same time, because like just coming in is just so different. I think like being on the other side, personally, it feels like kind of overwhelming sometimes, like there's not enough time in the day, or like I have like, you know, 10 more lectures to watch for tonight. Mm-hmm. Have you ever like felt like you have some like imposter syndrome or anything like that? Especially as somebody who has done it kind of like a straight through pathway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I feel like I've definitely struggled with imposter syndrome. Not long term, but momentarily. There are times where it's like, oh man, like what am I doing? Is this really the right way to go? And part of that was in MS1, I think. Not because it was especially hard or anything, but because I was coasting. I wasn't really studying too much at the beginning. I was, you know, just chilling at home, relaxing. And I was like, oh no, like how am I going to catch up? How am I going to do all this? Is this really what a medical student should be doing, right? And just the expectations were different from how I approached everything. And the way I kind of got around that was, you know, talking with others, finding better study habits, and just overall revising my approach and how I wanted to you know, just act and work as a medical student. It's different for sure. But I feel like imposter syndrome is a thing where, again, a ton of people go through it, as shown by, you know, surveys and stuff that we've done so far in med school, all the presentations. But definitely just reaching out to other people, talking about it is something that helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think like for me too, in med school, I've had my fair share of imposter syndrome and just realizing that, yeah, everybody else is going through the same thing. They're probably struggling just as much as you are, and just talking to them about it, seeing how they're getting through it can help me too. And yeah, that's made it a lot easier, honestly.
Yeah. And especially like that you've made like, you know, tangible changes to, I guess, like how you're studying, how you're doing stuff, so that you felt a little bit better about what you were doing. Do you mind like sharing some of those, or like sharing what you found works for you a little bit better now?
Mm-hmm. Out of all of these things, there are two that stand out. Mm-hmm. The changes I've made, at least. One, Pomodoro. There was a presentation on this too, mm-hmm. just a little bit ago that we had in class. But Pomodoro is when you kind of have these little segments of time where you're solely focused on working or studying for around, the average is 25 minutes. And then you take a quick 5-minute break where you just quit all that, walk around, do whatever you want, come back to it for another 25. And that just kind of repeats. And the reason I like that is because it makes it so that you don't get overwhelmed thinking, oh man, I have to finish this assignment. Instead, it's, oh, I'm going to do one Pomodoro on it. And then that just kind of goes, oh, I'll do one more. It kind of breaks it down, makes things more approachable. And I think the second one also relates to that. It was just making a schedule, just write down, I want to do this today. I want to do this today. I have to do this by a certain date. At the beginning, I feel like I was overwhelmed by all the random assignments, due dates that we had, but that definitely helped a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to keep track of like all the different things we have. And it's going to be good for people to hear that, because I feel like taking that step to like actually change your learning is pretty hard sometimes, or I've found it hard. But then once you make the change, it's pretty rewarding.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. I think something that some of the listeners wanted to hear are more stories about like being in JABSM itself, like what you think JABSM has to offer. So we're just wondering if you could tell us about some of the best experiences you've had at JABSM so far, and then kind of like what you're looking forward to most in this year.
Mm-hmm. I think my first impression, and a very strong one that's kind of stuck with me, is that JABSM is like a really close-knit place. Everybody, all the students, all the faculty really care about each other. And I really like that feeling that we're kind of all working towards this goal together. And that I feel like the thing I've enjoyed the most, maybe, is just spending time with, you know, all my classmates, all you guys, throughout all the activities that we do throughout the semester. Nothing in particular, I think, but just everything. I've enjoyed that. Is there another part to that question?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I did that thing that you're not supposed to do as a doctor and ask two questions at the time. Yeah, the second part of that was, what are you looking forward to most this year?
Hopefully COVID stops getting worse. Mm-hmm. Hopefully perhaps the numbers go down. And then we can do more stuff in person. It might be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For people that don't know, like, yeah, right now for our classes, majority of it is virtual on Zoom right now. So most of our PBL sessions and our lectures are all on Zoom. And then we have like some in-person sessions for like clinical skills and anatomy lab. So at least like we get to see our classmates like a couple times throughout the week in person, which is nice. But hopefully once cases start to go down again, then we'll be able to get back more in person.
Yeah, it's been like really hard to just try to do medical school in COVID, especially because I feel like it's such a person to person thing. It's weird having to do it over the screen, but yeah. Now that you're in medical school, like what are you involved in now? Like, are you shadowing? What do you do outside of the classroom?
Mm-hmm. I try to get involved with stuff when I have time. I try to do shadowing. Just yesterday I did a little bit of that. So interesting timing.
Where were you?
I was over at Queen's West,
Following Ian.
in orthopedic.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was
Ooh, did
really
you get to
fun.
see a surgery?
No surgery, but I went to clinic. Yeah, it was really cool. I like how in orthopedic especially, it's kind of like different patient populations, different cases for each specific hospital on the island. So it's kind of nice to get a little bit of a taste of that. Yeah.
Yeah,
But
you have something that you like more, 'cause like people like knees more or like hips or your
I
favorite like
haven't
joint.
favorite joint. I haven't got to that far. Everything, honestly, everything's cool. It's a silly answer, yeah,
Yeah.
but
No, I heard
So it
some
is.
people are like really good at like hand things.
See. Good to know. I'll write
Maybe you
that
can like
down.
test it out now, because right now we're doing extremities and anatomy.
Yeah.
Are you the one that's like up there like doing it?
No, not in my group. In my group, I have a ton of people who are really just really awesome at dissecting, really into it, and they know the anatomy really well too. So I'm just trying to
Did you so I know you're shadowing. Is there anything else you're involved in, like any clubs, anything that has kind of piqued your interest in medical school that maybe you didn't get to do before?
let's see. I think I haven't done too much like organized extracurricular kind of just for fun stuff throughout college, high school before, and not really too involved in that either now. But I'd be willing to get into it for sure if there's anything interesting that I spot.
I was just wondering if you had any advice, just in general, for people who are interested in medicine or pursuing the pathway of like pre-med right now.
I'll give a couple. I think that I kind of heard and reused myself. It's really hard to get into it at first because especially because COVID now, yeah, a lot of offices might not want students coming in. But even what I used to do was just when I was interested in something like research or whatever, I just email a ton of people and just hope, cross my fingers, hope everything worked out. And just, finding ways to just get in contact with mentors, physicians that you'd like to work with, shadow, helps, definitely helps a lot. It also helps you get a feel of the profession if you're trying to learn about that as well. The other thing is definitely come up with a study schedule and a way that you want to approach the MCAT. There are a ton of online resources that I feel help a lot. And don't overwhelm yourself, but kind of acquaint yourself with the process and find a good way you want to study for the exam.
And then you don't have to know, because I don't know, but do you have any idea of what you're going to do for the summer?
This summer, no idea. Yeah,
Okay, that's
we'll see
fair.
what happens.
Yeah.
Are you hoping to stay here and do something, or maybe do something on another island, or maybe the mainland?
I'd be happy to stay here, but if anything comes up with mainland stuff, that'd be really cool too. I feel like there's so many, awesome programs everywhere. Probably end up applying to a handful and see where I end up.
Okay, how about just like what's a normal day for you, like in the life of a medical student? Like, I guess, like, how kind of do you break up your day into like the work you have to do?
The way I like to break up my day is, at the beginning of the week, maybe Sunday, Monday, I try to assess the stuff I want to do, put that on my schedule. And just kind of assign different things to different days. So what I like doing is the day before PBL, I'm going to be doing my, I think this is the most representative. I'm going to, attend lecture in the morning, have lunch. If we have clinical skills on Wednesday, then I'll go to that. That's pretty fun. Throughout 4 o'clock, I'll probably get home at 5. So that leaves maybe 7 hours, in the rest of the day. And I try to get as many as I can into just doing Pomodoros. Usually, I'll try to spend less than an hour on each LI. It doesn't work out too well, but that's the goal. And then doing a little bit of light review, maybe watching lectures I didn't watch, and reading textbook a little bit. Yeah, so that's how I kind of like to approach the day.
Yeah, it sounds like you're up for a long time. Do you like drink a lot of coffee or
I used to drink a lot of coffee, and now I just take naps instead.
Oh, apps are good. I do like naps. Okay. Thanks, Ryan. I think that's going to be the end of it. I think we should ask you one more question, though, a fun one. And that is, if you could be in any kind of like fictional world, since you like, you know, reading or even movies or TVs, like what fictional world would you be in and why?
That's a really good question. I feel like all the things I like are too like scary. I don't want to go there. You know what I mean? Like, let's see. There's a manga called Flying Witch, where it's a very calm one, slice of life, as I mentioned, where everything's pretty much the same, except there are a few, there's a small subset of witches who do, you know, supernatural stuff. I wouldn't mind being in that world because it looks like a lot of fun. It's not anything scary or dangerous, really. Just a little bit extra excitement in our daily life. I think that'd be nice.
Is it like a potion thing or like a spell thing?
Yeah, it's the latter. It's more of a spell thing.
So if you can make a spell to make your medical school life easier, what would you make?
That's a good question. A focus spell, honestly.
Like Pomodoro, but for your brain.
Yeah, like give me 6 hours. Let me crank this out. After that, I can sleep. You know what I mean? Just that'd be nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, thanks, Ryan, for joining us today. We really enjoyed talking to you, John, and I, and the rest of the Jabs and Journeys team. Just really thought that your story is so inspirational. And just to be honest, like everybody who joined this class was so like, everybody always talks about like, oh, there's like, you know, a wide range of people and like ages and like experiences. And to hear that we had like a 16-year-old classmate was just so amazing. And so like, yeah, we really enjoyed talking to you today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me. I had a really fun time talking to the two of you. You did a really good job with this.
So thanks for listening to our very first official podcast for this new season. And stay tuned for our next podcast when we welcome Jordan Peterson, who had a very exciting announcement during medical school. So stay tuned to find out what it was.
Very exciting.